Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. Welcome to another weekly edition of the End Time News Report with the one and only Sister Marie. Well, It's beautiful and sunny where I'm at, but it's very cold. It's a chilly, chilly day. And I finally got a haircut. I was looking like Sasquatch. My hair was so long. And I finally got my mop cut off today, so much so that my wife thought I was delivering packages when I rang the doorbell. She thought I was the UPS man. So I look different. I sound different. I feel different. I've been sick now for a week and a half, maybe two, but I'm on the mend, and I'm glad to be back today pushing buttons. So without any further ado, let me bring on Sister Marie. Sister Marie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, and you?
Like I said, got my mop cut off today.
Yeah.
The dog saw me, and he started barking. And I said, retarded dog. Retarded dog. He doesn't even know his own master.
He looks different.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's bad.
But I couldn't find a barber. All the barbers retired because of COVID. So,
yeah.
I honestly couldn't find one. Then my wife says, well, I'm going to make a few phone calls to my friends. And I said, no, don't you do that, because you call them if you want to know where to get your hair done. Don't be calling anybody to find out where I'm going to get my hair done. I can take care of that myself. So she thinks she's my mother. And so she made a few phone calls, and but I didn't go to where she sent me. And So that's that. So I got a little rebellious streak in me. What are you going to do?
Yes.
So it is what it is.
Well, there's hairdressers, you know, that do men's hair. They do.
Sure, but I don't want anybody to think I'm a drag queen. So, I don't want anybody to think I'm going there to get, highlights or anything. So, or my nails done or my eyelashes done. Yeah. So, no, if it's not a male hairdresser, a guy who cuts hair in a regular barbershop where they're playing checkers and where the men are talking, they're talking trade,
funny.
I'm not going. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You are stubborn. Oh,
yes, I am.
You're stubborn.
Yes, I am. So finally, yeah. I found someone that was open. And so praise God, the mullet's gone.
Yep.
The mullet's gone. And I'm in studio today.
They're coming back.
Yeah, sure. There's a lot of kids in my area with mullets. And,
yeah, they're coming back in style.
Sure.
Believe
absolutely.
It or not.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh,
but not for me. Not no mullets for me. So so we have a great show in store for the Saints today.
I hope so.
So tell us about it.
Well, we're going to take a trip down memory lane to see how the topics that we talked about before, how they've progressed, and how things fit into the agenda that we see today. You know, so over the next few weeks, we'll hear a lot about different secret societies and how they communicate with one another through symbolism. So I think that this can help identify the key players in this global agenda, you know. So we'll be discussing, I think, a variety of things, of topics. So
right.
We have a lot of work to do with this. And I would encourage anyone to do their own research on these subjects, especially while the information is still available. You know, I know you and I both have that book, The Complete Dictionary of Symbols. That's a fantastic book, because people have ideas what things mean, and you may hear on Google, well, this may mean this, or I think this means that. But, you know, you can check that's an accurate book. I really like that. So that's a good resource. And, you know, it's like anything. You really need to, you know, we'll get more into that next week, you know, about the different symbols and what people think they mean and what they really mean or what they go back to, you know. But, you know, I was trying to think of something of why it's so important to do the research on it. And the thought came to my mind of how I liked going to auctions, you know, auction houses.
Right.
And when they had an auction on, I just love it, especially antiques. So before I went to the auction house or before I started going there with my husband, we both like it. So before I did that, I really did a lot of study on antiques. I have books and books and books and books on antiques. Well, my idea was I was going to buy things and maybe resell them.
Right.
So I wanted to learn the best of the best, and I got to the point that I could take an something I paid $18 for and make $600 off it.
Wow.
Because I can spot different antiques a mile away now. And why?
Right.
Because I studied antiques. I looked at every antique. I looked at all the marks. So, you know, the Lord blessed that. I put a lot of study into it, and the Lord blessed that. And it was everything I purchased. I knew what I could get out of it before I even purchased it. So if I could get it, you know, at a really good price, I could turn it around. That involves study. I have books and books on antiques now. And that paid off. You know, the Lord blessed that. You know, so it's the same with this. I mean, the more you study with this, the more the Lord will bless you, you know, and show you things that you might not realize are around you. So the very first series we did was on Alice Bailey and her Lucis Trust. That's Lucifer Trust. That's what it was before she changed the name. And at that time, very few people knew about Alice, you know, because her heyday was long ago, long time ago.
Right.
So even though she was forgotten by name, her evil agenda is still moving forward today, you know. And that's a strong word, hey. I really don't like to play something that's been played before. I really don't like to do that. But it's relevant to what's going on, what we see today. So for me, you know, the only person I knew, one reliable person, because there wasn't a lot of information years ago about her. You know, people had forgotten about her, or there were things out there, but people weren't searching. And I knew one reliable person who studied her in depth, and that was Mark Fairley. And that was 11 years ago he did this. Time flies, doesn't it? So I'm sure there's all kinds of information out there, but not many people connected the dots with her and the UN and the EU and what we see today like he did. And I really think, bro, I think there's times that the Lord sends you people who are on the same page at the same time. For me, that was Mark. That was Mark back then. And honestly, when I was looking, there was nothing out there, you know, that connected her to these evil plans. But he knew. I mean, he did an in-depth study of all these things with the UN, with the EU, with Alice, and start connecting the dots. And, you know, he's right. So this is just a recap. So we'll revisit, you know, who Alice was and why she's important and why it pertains to the current global agenda. Now, we're only doing a recap. We're not going to do, you know, all of Alice again. So do you have anything you want to say about that? Because that was
our start, bro.
I'm
excited to revisit Alice Bailey and her, you know, her doctrines of demons.
We won't get into her doctrines per se in depth because it's something we shouldn't do. We really shouldn't. But I think you can see her doctrine around us. You see, what's
right.
happening today is a lot of what she promoted, you know, but on a more
mm-hmm.
of a spiritual level, you
right,
know, the spiritual
right.
side of it. And she was a scary person. So, you know, so let's, if you want to play audio one, it's 9 minutes and 58 seconds. If you want to play that, that's fine.
Okay.
Appropriately, this is Know Your Enemy, and this is Mark Fairley, and it's part 66.
Okay.
Oh.
All right, so here we go.
So if you feel like stopping it, if you feel like stopping it and talking, that's fine. It doesn't matter. It's up to you.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Let's go here.
Alice A. Bailey lived from 1880 to 1949.
How's the sound on that? Is it too high?
No, that's perfect.
Okay.
On my end, it's perfect.
Alice A. Bailey lived from 1880 to 1949 and spent most of her time as a teacher and writer on themes of the occult, astrology, spirituality, and theosophy. She stated that the majority of her books were telepathically channeled through her by a spirit being who she believed to be a master of wisdom. Initially, she just referred to the being as the Tibetan, or by the initials DK. Later, she called it Jwal Kul. She showed the same kind of mental disturbance that we've seen in other occultists in the past. As a child, Bailey was deeply unhappy and attempted suicide on three occasions, once when she was 5, then when she was 11, and the third time at an unspecified time before the age of 15. It was after this third attempt, aged 15, on June the 30th, 1895, that she was apparently visited by a stranger who told her that she needed to develop self-control in preparation for certain work that was planned for her to do. Coming from an Anglican background, she initially believed this man to be Jesus, but later identified him as a spirit called Master Kuthumi after she went to the Occult Theosophical Society and saw a portrait of him hanging on the wall. Theosophists believe that this spirit had previous incarnations and that one of them was Pythagoras, who you might remember was an influence on Plato, and also St. Francis of Assisi, amongst others. As a result of this, St. Francis of Assisi has been named the patron saint of the United Nations. You may also remember that St. Francis of Assisi was one of the main inspirations for Ignatius Loyola. On top of this, it's also on St. Francis Day that thousands flocked to the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York City for the mocking Blessing of the Beast ceremony. You may also remember that the UN chose San Francisco, which is Spanish for St. Francis, as the location for the first UN meeting and charter signing. Plus, the town of San Francisco is known for being especially liberal and permissive. I haven't done any research into St. Francis, so I don't know why he keeps popping up and why he holds such a special place in the hearts of occultists, but there is clearly some reason for these links. Because Alice Bailey initially thought this demonic spirit was Jesus, we see once again the ability of Satan to disguise himself as an angel of light. In earlier life, Bailey was married to an Episcopalian minister, but after it failed, she severed ties with her Christian heritage altogether and remarried a 32nd degree Freemason, Foster Bailey. Together, they founded the esoteric magazine The Beacon and started a company called the Lucifer Trust. This organization was created to manage the business of publishing her 25 demonically channeled books. They later changed its name to the Lucis Trust to hide its true meaning. This Lucis Trust is today another key NGO for the United Nations. As a subsidiary to the Lucis Trust, they also created the World Goodwill Organization to help mobilize the energy of goodwill to cooperate in the work of preparation for the reappearance of the Christ, to educate public opinion on the...
All right, so let's put it back. Let me just bring it back here and just... Okay, here it is.
Alice A. Bailey lived from 1880 to 1949 and spent most of her time as a teacher and writer on themes of the occult, astrology, spirituality, and theosophy. She stated that the majority of her books were telepathically channeled through her by a spirit being who she believed to be a master of wisdom. Initially, she just referred to the being as the Tibetan, or by the initials DK. Later, she called it Jwal Kool. She showed the same kind of mental disturbance that we've seen in other occultists in the past. As a child, Bailey was deeply unhappy and attempted suicide on 3 occasions, once when she was 5, then when she was 11, and the third time at an unspecified time before the age of 15. It was after this third attempt, aged 15, on June 30th, 1895, that she was apparently visited by a stranger who told her that she needed to develop self-control in preparation for certain work that was planned for her to do.
All right, so anyone who, obviously this woman was demon-possessed because when you read the Bible, for example, one example, you have Mark 9, where a father brings a young boy to Jesus to have the demon cast out of him, and then Jesus says to the man, give us his back history. And the man says the demon often tries to kill him.
Yes.
So that's, you know, but, of course, the demon always takes the person to the point of death, kills them because they are the host body. So it's always an attempt at suicide that is never fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
When you read the Mark 9 account, the little boy is beat up every way imaginable, but never to the point of death.
Yes.
Again, the demon wants to reside in this body. If he kills it, if he kills the boy, then his host is gone. So always to the point of suicide, always to the point of suicide, but never completes it. So I found that to be a key
feature. That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point with that. You know, to think about that. That's true. We have a biblical example of that, you know, with the suicide. So, yeah, we do.
Yeah, and it so happens
that,
point. This demon here in Mark 9 is a deaf and mute spirit. It's called the dumb spirit. But in this case, it made the child retarded. But in Alice Bailey's case, it did not. So,
correct.
Different manifestations, but you know, the same thing. I mean, they just tortured their victims to the point of death, but never actually bringing death about. Okay.
Right, and we remember in the cemetery, you know, when Jesus cast out, there were many in that man, the legion of demons.
Exactly.
You know, and he just wandered around.
Sure.
You know, wandered around when he cast him out. So, yeah, with her, I mean, you think about it, with her, this agenda is still going on. Look at how he used her, the devil used her.
Sure.
I mean.
Absolutely.
We're seeing it.
Absolutely.
We're seeing it around us, what's going on now.
Sure.
Wow.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. Jesus gave permission to the demons to go into the pigs. But if you notice, the pigs died.
Because
demons don't want to be inside of animals. It's not as productive. Because who's going to listen? Who's going to listen to an animal? Who's going to pay any? No. They want a host. They want a human host. Their target is a human host. So they didn't kill the boy. But they killed the pigs.
Yes.
And that's the vast difference there.
Yep. Amazing.
Coming from an Anglican background, she initially believed this man to be Jesus, but later identified him as a spirit called Master Kutumi after she went to the Occult Theosophical Society and saw a portrait of him hanging on the wall. Theosophists believe that this spirit had previous incarnations and that one of them was Pythagoras, who you might remember was an influence on Plato, and also St. Francis of Assisi, amongst others. As a result of this, St. Francis of Assisi has been named the patron saint of the United Nations. You may also remember that St. Francis of Assisi was one of the main inspirations for Ignatius Loyola. On top of this, It's also on St. Francis Day that thousands flocked to the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York City for the mocking Blessing of the Beast ceremony. You may also remember that the UN chose San Francisco, which is Spanish for St. Francis, as the location for the first UN meeting and charter signing. Plus, the town of San Francisco is known for being especially liberal and permissive. I haven't done any research into St. Francis, so I don't know why he keeps popping up and why he holds such a special place in the hearts of occultists, but there is clearly some reason for these links. Because Alice Bailey initially thought this demonic spirit was Jesus, we see once again the ability of Satan to disguise himself as an angel of light. In earlier life, Bailey was married to an Episcopalian minister, but after it failed, she severed ties with her Christian heritage altogether and remarried a 32nd degree Freemason, Foster Bailey.
Yeah, she was never a Christian. Just because you go to an Anglican church or you marry an Episcopalian, that means Jack. You know, that, please.
Yeah.
That's, again, that's, you can marry Ahab, who was supposed to be an Israelite. Jezebel married him, but that didn't make her, a follower of Jehovah through marriage.
Right.
So,
right.
So
I think abandoning him, she went straight into like atheist. She was an atheist after that. And then, an occultist and all that. She didn't want anything to do with religion. She hated it. You know, anything to do with God. They hate God, don't they?
Sure.
At the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Together, they founded the esoteric magazine The Beacon and started a company called the Lucifer Trust. This organization was created to manage the business of publishing her 25 demonically channeled books. They later changed its name to the Lucis Trust to hide its true meaning. This Lucis Trust is today another key NGO for the United Nations. As a subsidiary to the Lucis Trust, they also created the World Goodwill Organization to help mobilize the energy of goodwill to cooperate in the work of preparation for the reappearance of the Christ, to educate public opinion on the causes of the major world problems, and to help create the thought form of the solutions. She also used the Lucis Trust to found something called the Arcane School, which gives a series of courses on her views on karma, reincarnation, and the divine nature of man. The school uses typical hierarchical degrees of esoteric knowledge. As is to be expected of anyone driven by the hidden hand of Satan, she also had the telltale hatred for the Jewish people, referring to them as the Jewish problem. Now, from that background, you can probably tell that her teaching's not going to be good, but here are some quotes. She wrote, "I dedicate myself anew to the service of the coming one and will do all I can to prepare men's minds and hearts for that event. I have no other life intention." Now, when occultists talk about a coming one or even use the term Christ or cosmic Christ, they are not referring to Jesus, who in their inverted version of events is the evil one. To them, the Christ is in fact Lucifer, the Antichrist. This is the one for whom they wait and the one who they are preparing the world to receive. Indeed, she clarifies this when she writes, "The Tibetan has asked me to make clear that when he is speaking of the Christ, he is referring to his official name as head of the hierarchy. The Christ works for all men irrespective of their faith. He does not belong to the Christian world any more than to the Buddhist or Mohammedan or any other faith. There is no need for any man to join the Christian church in order to be affiliated with Christ. The requirements are to love your fellow men, lead a disciplined life, recognize the divinity in all faiths and all beings, and rule your daily life with love." So here we see her demonic spirit guide telling her to promote the idea that all faiths are equal and there is no single faith that is exclusively true. These are the ideas that are built into Robert Mueller's World Core curriculum. Alice A. Bailey wrote that when their Antichrist comes, first of all, he will come to a world which is essentially one world. So they believe that they have to create this one world order in order to prepare the way for their Antichrist. That's what the UN are doing. Bailey goes on to say, "The major effect of his appearance will surely be to demonstrate in every land the effects of a spirit of inclusiveness, an inclusiveness which will be channeled or expressed through him. All who seek right human relations will be gathered automatically to him, whether they are in one of the great world religions or not. She then goes on to say, all who see no true or basic difference between religion and religion, or between man and man, or nation and nation, will rally round him. Those who embody the spirit of exclusiveness and separateness will stand automatically and equally revealed, and all men will know them for what they are. So the Antichrist will have all the world's religions rallying round him and finding in him their shared Babylonian origins, which will unite them all. But yet she talks distastefully about another group of people at this time who will be exclusive and separated from the group. Who will these people be? The ones that don't conform. Those of the Judeo-Christian heritage, of course. We who adhere to the only faith that is genuinely different and which isn't rooted in Babylon. As you might imagine, we who are seen to be opposing this world peace and not joining in the unity will be seen as hateful and intolerant. We therefore will be hated and despised and persecuted for not conforming to the crowd. This spirit of inclusiveness, as she calls it, is already on show in the world today, but it will grow stronger. As the world pools together in a one-world system, Christians who are brave enough not to conform will increasingly be isolated and separated. Bailey herself confirmed that all religions emanate from the same spiritual source and that one day everyone would come to realize this. As they do so, she predicted that the world would see the emergence of a universal world religion and new world order. She said that this was no distant dream, but was actually happening even in her own time. She wrote, there will not be any dissociation between the universal church, the sacred lodge of all true Masons, and the inner circles of the esoteric societies. In this way, the goals and work of the United Nations shall be solidified, and a new Church of God, led by all the religions and by all the spiritual groups, shall put an end to the great heresy of separateness. All forms of Freemasonry and all the false religions and philosophies of the world that have their roots in Babylon will one day come together under a single banner. This is the essence of postmodernism. People are moving away from outright atheism and returning to ancient religion. Bailey refers specifically to the United Nations again, saying, evidence of the growth of the human intellect along the needed receptive lines can be seen in the planning of various nations and in the efforts of the United Nations to formulate a world plan. From the very start of this unfoldment, three occult factors have governed the development of all these plans. Bailey doesn't reveal what these three occult factors are, but the main point is that she is explicitly revealing the occult nature of the UN and their plans to implement a one-world religious system. She again goes on to say, within the United Nations is the germ seed of a great international and meditating, reflective group, a group of thinking and informed men and women in whose hands lie the destiny of humanity. This is largely under the control of many fourth-rate disciples, if you could but realize it, and their point of meditative focus is the intuitional or Buddhic plane, the plane upon which the hierarchical activity is today to be found. Again, I don't know too much about this astrological system of which she speaks, and I don't think we need to go too much into it, but it's interesting that this fourth-ray discipline has the name Harmony Through Conflict and is connected with the moon. So she's basically referring to the Hegelian principle and Asherah. And because we've always looked at the sun and moon in tandem, the sun in this astrological system of Bailey's apparently belongs to the second ray, which represents seeing beyond differences into unifying principles. Again, a feature of our time. Remember, Robert Mueller said that the basis of his educational ideas came from Alice A. Bailey. These are the ideas that the UN gave him an award for, and these are the ideas that the UN wants to be filtered into every school around the world so that coming generations of children will grow up with this mindset.
Yeah, and it's going to happen.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was 11 years ago, bro.
Yeah.
And boy, it's coming together, you know.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
Well, we can see where the coexist movement, what it's all about, and harmony through conflict. If we think about that right now, look at the conflict we've had and how they're trying to get harmony through that. You know, that's what we see today.
Sure.
You know, all these different uprisings and all that, that's conflict. to what? Bring harmony. Bring in the Antichrist. You know. Mm-hmm. Remember the Together movement put together by the Pope? I played an audio. I think it was Nick Hall with that. And the Pope had this Together, hashtag Together, T-shirts made. You know.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
think about it. The United Nations serves no purpose, really. I mean,
right.
Other than to usher the Antichrist. That's
mm-hmm.
it.
That's
because does it stop wars? No. We've had more wars since the United Nations was started than
exactly.
before the United Nations was in existence. And they came into
exactly.
existence to stop wars.
Yeah.
And they stopped nothing. Right?
And
they give dictators platforms to
mm-hmm.
spew their nonsense, and then,
yeah.
you know, sane people, they're blacklisted. So...
That's right.
And think about it. The United Nations is in New York, and everyone in the United Nations hates the United States. So why
mm-hmm.
would we house it here? Well, we're housing it here because the devil's in control.
Yes, exactly.
That's the
we
only
are the new world,
why.
You know.
That's
they named us the new world. There's a reason for that.
That yeah, sure. So Satan's in full control, and they'll tell America, we hate you, we hate your guts, we can't stand you people. And yet,
mm-hmm.
it's right down in New York City, and
yeah.
And that's it. And we foot the bill.
That's right.
Right? So,
yeah.
go figure that out. So
you can't.
It just tells you.
You can't. Makes no sense.
Other than the devil's in charge.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah. It's all planned.
Sure.
And, you know, she said the head of the hierarchy. That's, you know, and then she talked about a German head. Well, who is Klaus Schwab? He's
right.
German. You know? You know, I'm nervous about this guy anyway. I'm not nervous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm looking at him.
Sure.
But he is the head.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
When you're looking at the UN and you're looking at someone she said would be of German seed and, you know,
mm-hmm.
And then we have Klaus out there, the head of the hierarchy, you know, it makes you
right.
wonder why these
sure.
people are all put in place in different
mm-hmm.
places right now, especially.
Right.
So keeping in mind, you know, I don't recommend her writings or that you study anything of hers because it's Luciferian doctrine, you know. But these short clips reveal a lot. She had in there 7 booty claims. That's what she called them. I think that's a 7 mountain mandate because part of that boutique plane is you have to be on top of everything, you know? It's
right,
you have to be
right.
the head of these boutique planes
mm-hmm.
in order to be a mover.
Sure.
So, you know, she had the 7 boutique planes, and we hear 7 mountain mandate. They just call that, and then they bring it into the church and say the church is supposed to be the head of these things. You see,
right,
they just
right.
changed the name.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark is correct. And St. Francis of Assisi, he is everywhere in this. You know? I mean, his name,
yep.
his beliefs. He's not, you know. And I'm wondering if it's a coincidence that, is it a coincidence or is there a reason that the Pope chose the name Francis? You know, these things run across me.
Sure,
all
sure.
the time. You know?
Sure.
Why did he choose Francis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Again, he's a Jesuit, right? He was trained Jesuit. And,
yep.
And you know, the Jesuits were, you look to St. Francis as, you know, the patron saint. And that's that. You know, he's the one whom the serpent spoke to in the cave. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
there you go. It's no wonder, you know. It's just no wonder that you know, when you look at the Catholic Church, and you think about all the children that they've molested, all of the babies that they aborted, right? Think about all those monasteries where they now they're digging up those properties and there's just cemeteries of babies, that, you know, little graves, and I mean the atrocities, the things they did in Ireland. I mean the things they, and then here they are fighting abortion. We're leading the fight against abortion. Wait a minute, you guys were experts in abortion. What are you talking about?
Really?
Right?
Really?
And they're so wicked, and then everybody respects them and bows to them, and you got to go to the Vatican to see the Pope as soon as you become president, and all of this nonsense that goes on, and
crazy.
You got to say to yourself, it's all connected, right? The lunacy, it's all connected.
Yeah.
It's
and he just made a statement the other day. The Pope come out and made a statement about we need to worship Mother Earth. Now, you know, if this is called a church, it's open to anything and everything. So what's that tell you about that religion? You know, that's not a church or religion. It's pagan.
Sure.
They're open to anything. And that's
absolutely
the one thing that Alice promoted. And so when he's talking about worshiping Mother Earth, how many popes in the past would have gotten away with that? Not too many.
No.
Not without an uproar.
Sure. Sure.
I mean, even in Roman Catholicism, you have a conservative group in there, you know.
Right.
Even though it's wrong, but it's conservative. Who would have taken a stand against such things? But he's open to everything. There's nothing he's not open to, including,
absolutely,
remember the news story with the pagan, you know, indigenous worship ceremony.
Sure.
He was open to that.
Yeah,
so
he had the Indian,
universal,
they put
it's
the
him.
Indian hat on him. Yeah, they put the Indian hat on him, the Gopa Indian hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. It's amazing.
I mean, that's pure paganism. That's, you know. So, and one thing, too, keep in mind here, she was married to a 32nd degree Mason. That would have been of the Scottish Rite, you know, because they have 33 degrees. So they're heavily involved in this. I mean, I can't find anywhere where they aren't involved. And many of them are in powerful places, including our pulpits. They're in the pulpits everywhere. I can tell you that for sure. So, you know, she said that there wouldn't be any disassociation between the Universal Church. So, and she included in that the Sacred Lodge of all true Masons. So she's saying in this, essentially, that the Universal Church consists of these lodges of true Masons when she says that.
Right.
And she added, and she included the inner circle of esoteric societies, you know. So that tells you right there what the groups are that are involved in this.
Sure.
You know, that are
it's
heavily
bizarre.
Involved in this.
It's
just bizarre.
Yeah.
So her involvement with the UN was no accident. I mean, So it's just amazing that, you know, we see so much in this. It's just wild how this is all just unfolded. It's like a stack of cards, you know. It's just rolled out. So we fast forward to Alice, and we're looking at her Lucis Trust. Now, I had an audio once that was gold they were in London in her library. I mean, it was incredible, the book. And that told us right then that this one world religion would consist of everything, you know, everything
mm-hmm.
pagan.
Right.
She had every book on everything and considered them all, you know, she mixed them together, and that was for the coexist movement, you know.
Right, right.
So that's why it exists today, was for that. So anyway, Hugo did something on the Lucis Trust in the New World Order. I think he's just figuring this all out. Now, he may be listening to Mark. Who knows?
Okay.
Or listen to his old tape. But I got to say something about Hugo. I don't know his theology, but he gets some of the best clips, you know, out there on certain things. And, you know, he's not falling for any of this. Whatever he believes, and I know he's mentioned he believes in God, you know, but he's not falling for anything they're handing out. But he
right,
gets some
right.
good clips, and it makes it easy for me, you know. So in this, you know, his focus, like I said, is on the Lucis Trust. And he actually gets the lady. He has a clip of the lady who is running it now, who's in charge of it. So, you know, I think we'll play that one. So
okay.
It's 23 minutes and 29 seconds, the audio, if you want to run that. And this is, like I said, the Lucis Trust and the UN and Alice. And what is happening today? This is Hugo Talks, so, or Talks Again, or Talks Once More, right. or whatever site this one was on.
Okay.
I don't remember. They take his videos down as fast as he can put them up over there. So,
poor guy.
Yeah, I know, but
right.
you know what? He keeps plugging in. He keeps,
sure.
you know, he keeps moving forward, even though, like I said, I'm not sure his stance on things, but, you know, he's
gotta
not falling for any of this. I got to
give
him credit.
Got to give him credit for keep plugging away.
Oh, he gets some good clip. He gets some good clip. So.
All right. Here he is.
Okay.
Hello, you're listening to Hugo Talks. Now, this is an exclusive video on HugoTalks.com only. Well, that's the idea as I'm making this video. Feel free to download and upload elsewhere as you please. So let's get into this Lucis Trust. Someone sent me a video, a recent video that is squirreled away on their website called Preparing the Way for a New Civilization. And if you've been following me, I've done a fair few videos on the Lucis Trust, a.k.a. Lucifer Publishing, and really, if you haven't seen those, you should check them out. I'll leave links in the description. There was Lucifer and the United Nations, a video about the Aquarian Agenda and how it linked to other people and other organizations. I did a video about how the Lucis Trust openly state they do invocations, spells, to raise the energy for big international political events like the G8, and the World Economic Forum Davos Convention, you know? They don't hide it, and it's weird. I don't see that many other people covering this. It seems to be a bit of a no-go area for some reason. Now, I'll just give you a brief lowdown on the Lucis Trust, but you should check out the other videos I just mentioned to get a better understanding. So the Lucis Trust was set up by the Freemason Alice Bailey for her writings in 1922. It was originally called Lucifer Publishing Company, after Lucifer, the fallen angel, usually associated with Satan, the devil. They changed the name to Lucis after getting backlash from the public. They say it means Lucifer, the light bringer, and it's all about bringing light to the world, and was inspired by Helena Blavatsky. Now, the Lucifer Trust has consultative status with the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and World Goodwill, the name of their groups that are literally all across the world, is recognized by the Department of Public Information at the United Nations as a non-governmental organization, an NGO. They are the spiritual foundation of the United Nations, the most powerful intergovernmental organization in the world. You know, the United Nations that runs the World Health Organization, that have been jabbing billions of people with their pharmakia devil juice and are attempting to tell you what you can and cannot do. Their spiritual foundation is the Lucis Trust, Lucifer, Luciferianism, no different to the Freemasons and other secret societies. They don't even hide it. This is what these people believe in. The people who are ordering governments and you to maintain sustainability goals, to get digital IDs, to have your carbon footprint measured, who are working with companies to block out the rays from the sun, to make you eat artificial food, to create a cashless society, yeah, you know the score. Their religion is Luciferianism. And it's weird. I mean, if you actually look into it, they believe that very soon the age of Aquarius will be coming in, or if not, it's already started, and they say the Lord of the seventh ray will appear. They believe he's an ascended master, okay? Sometimes they call him Christ, but they don't mean Jesus Christ. They mean something else. They think he is going to appear in 2025. The Lord of the seventh ray. They call him Saint Germain, and they believe he has been reincarnated many times in the past. He was a Roman emperor, Merlin the Magician, Plato, Christopher Columbus, and Francis Bacon, to name a few. That's what they believe. They believe he's going to come back and give off a burning energy and change everything into a new energy of Aquarius or something like that. To me, it sounds a bit like the Antichrist. And yeah, here we see the president. This is the president of the Lucifer Trust. Here giving a message out. It's called Preparing the Way for the New Civilization. It says a talk given via Zoom during the online Arcane School Conference, Geneva, June 4th, 2022, by Christine Morgan, president of the Lucis Trust. Now remember, these people are the spiritual foundation of the United Nations. They maintain and are in charge of the UN building's meditation room in New York. General Assembly Building, it's the room with the big black cube of Saturn in it, yeah? Satan, dedicated to the god who goes by many names. And I wonder who that could be. Ah, yeah, it could be Lucifer, isn't it? The Baphomet, Satan, the Morning Star. I reckon that be it. Now, you can check out this video message if you want. I just wanted to take a few snippets and talk about it. So this is Christina Morgan, the president of the Lucis Trust. I did try to look up some stuff, information about her, but I couldn't find anything. There was nothing online. I did find a video interview, which I have a clip of later on. And in that interview, she said she comes from South Africa and her mother gave her Alice Bailey books, went to read when she was 21. And then her mother took her to the Arcane School shortly afterwards on a regular basis, and then later on she became the director of that arcane secret school in South Africa, which led on to her becoming the president of the Lucis Trust. So it looks like it's been handed down to her, or at least it looks as if being a Luciferian is in the family. Okay, so that's a bit of background, and here she is from June talking about how the world is going to change in the near future and what they should be doing and what to expect. Also, bear in mind that in these clips, these people talk in a very vague manner, overcomplicating things, trying to disguise what they really mean. Here's the first clip.
And this is why in this present period of transition, the Lord of the Seventh Ray is taking over the control of affairs and the ordered working out of the plan, so as eventually to restore stability to the planet and give the incoming Aquarian influences a stable and extended field in which to work.
Okay, so they're saying the Lord of the Seventh Ray is coming. That'll be their Christ, Lucifer, Antichrist, Saint Germain, reincarnated person, ascended master. And this is going to make the age of Aquarius come alive, yeah? These are the people consulting with the United Nations. Okay, next clip.
The seventh ray works powerfully through Uranus. And visualizing this planet's influence we can help to consolidate the new world order on the physical plane. And indeed, we're given a symbol to meditate upon in esoteric astrology for just this purpose.
So there you go, consolidate the new world order, she says. Always got to mention the new world order. And this is going to happen once the Lord of the Seventh Ray passes through Uranus. Sounds painful. So here we have the president of the Lucifer Trust.
He's so funny. It sounds painful.
I thought I was hoping you'd
I mean...
That's so British humor.
Yes, absolutely. 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 I got to put it back a little bit.
By Christine Morgan, president of the Lucis Trust. Now remember, these people are the spiritual foundation of the United Nations. They maintain and are in charge of the UN building's meditation room in New York. General Assembly Building. It's the room with the big black cube of Saturn in it, yeah? Satan. Dedicated to the god who goes by many names. And I wonder who that could be. Ah, yeah, it could be Lucifer, isn't it? The Baphomet, Satan, the Morning Star. I reckon that be it. Now, you can check out this video message if you want. I just wanted to take a few snippets and talk about it. So this is Christina Morgan, the president of the Lucis Trust. I did try to look up some stuff, information about her, but I couldn't find anything. There was nothing online. I did find a video interview, which I have a clip of later on. And in that interview, she said she comes from South Africa and her mother gave her Alice Bailey books to read when she was 21. And then her mother took her to the Arcane School shortly afterwards on a regular basis. And then later on, she became the director of that Arcane Secret School in South Africa, which led on to her becoming the president of the Lucis Trust. So it looks like it's been handed down to her, or at least it looks as if being a Luciferian is in the family. Okay, so that's a bit of background. And here she is from June talking about how the world is going to change in the near future and what they should be doing and what to expect. Also, bear in mind that in these clips, these people talk in a very vague manner, overcomplicating things, trying to disguise what they really mean. Here's the first clip.
And this is why in this present period of transition, the Lord of the Seventh Ray is taking over the control of affairs and the ordered working out of the plan, so as eventually to restore stability to the planet and give the incoming Aquarian influences a stable and extended field in which to work.
Okay, so they're saying the Lord of the Seventh Ray is coming. That'll be their Christ, Lucifer, Antichrist, Saint Germain, reincarnated person, ascended master. And this is going to make the age of Aquarius come alive, yeah? These are the people consulting with the United Nations. Okay, next clip.
The seventh ray works powerfully through Uranus, and visualizing this planet's influence, we can help to consolidate the new world order on the physical plane. And indeed, we're given a symbol to meditate upon in esoteric astrology for just this purpose.
So there you go, consolidate the new world order, she says. Always got to mention the new world order. And this is going to happen once the Lord of the Seventh Ray passes through Uranus. Sounds painful. So here we have the president of the Lucifer Trust talking about consolidating a new world order, and she is asking for her groups to meditate, to magnetize the world, to make all of this happen in a more streamlined way. Okay, now in this next bit, listen to how she talks about the minds of the public, the brains of the people in the West, and how their minds maybe are overdeveloped and are maybe thinking too much, and how this impedes their ability for them to use white magic. Check this out.
So the challenge today is that humanity has a powerful desire body which makes many demands and at the same time, and perhaps especially in the West, the concrete mind has developed to such an extent that it can preclude the higher, more intuitional type of consciousness. The mind increases the pace of progress, but if overdeveloped and vibrating too intensely, it becomes insular, a world unto itself. The overactive mind is a barrier to attaining free access to those levels where higher group associations are formed. And in order to create higher group associations based on the white magic of right relations, a certain magnetization of the surrounding ethers is very beneficial, as pathways of communication are more easily forged in a magnetic environment.
Okay, so
I don't know what the heck she's saying, but again, you know, I mean, I'm lost. But again, let's see what Hugo has to say.
Are you following this? She's saying that overdeveloped minds are not helpful for white magic relations, and they want to magnetize the surrounding ether. What, through the Ethernet cables, eh? Because pathways of communication are forged in a magnetic environment. She uses the word magic and white magic a lot, doesn't she? Okay, next clip.
A relatively small success achieved by Western students of white magic to date, we're told, is mainly due to the non-magnetic condition of the environing ether. In certain parts of India, the ethers have been kept in a relatively serene condition and constantly magnetized by the presence of the masters. Magical work has been somewhat easier of attainment. So the frenetic pace of modern life in the West, plus the separative forces of the concrete mind, constantly disperse the buildup of magnetic conditions. And it's said that at the moment it would require too much force to make the Western environment a suitable place for white magic.
She says they are looking to make the West a suitable place for white magic. And I know right now there'll be comments saying, you know, there's nothing wrong with white magic. White magic, black magic, grey magic, it's all magic, okay? If you're indulging in magic, black, white or grey, you're cheating, yeah? You're trying to get advantage over others who are not indulging in secret society witchcraft, yeah? Who does white magic? Who does black magic? Who performs this? Witches. This is witchcraft. And this, like I was saying, this is the spiritual foundation of the United Nations. All of them are witches. Yeah?
Makes it difficult to magnetize it.
I would say, yeah. They are all witches.
Exactly.
What you say, they're all witches? Yeah.
You say I'm true.
Yeah.
Oh, I had something funny. I thought of when he said that about Uranus.
Yeah.
I was thinking Satan always has a counterfeit. You know, we're born through the womb.
Right.
The Antichrist comes through Uranus.
Yeah. No doubt.
That's what they
no
said.
No doubt. This is why all the gays appeared all of a sudden. This is, I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, you can't make the stuff up. When did all the gays show up? Now.
You need to be in England.
Yeah. I mean.
Think like that.
This is absolutely, absolutely.
So now we know.
Unbelievable.
In a meaningful and lasting way. And hence part of the work of meditation groups is to do just this. And the three arcane school conferences we hold in the three of the five planetary centers each year is part of this work of preparing the field of magic for the immediate future and for those who follow us in incarnation.
Preparing the field of magic. I don't know if you saw my video about NVIDIA, the graphics card company, and how they are working at improving the metaverse, the counterfeit world they are trying to create out of envy due to the world being created by God. And the devil counterfeits what God does. And I talked about demons running the apps and software on your phone and your computers, downloaded onto your devil vices, your devices, and installed by installation wizards through the ether, through Ethernet cables, okay? For you all to stare into your Black Mirror devices, okay? And these people at the Lucis Trust, they love talking about technology and magic as being one, as being helping one another. The Lucifer, Lucis Trust. Here's an article from 2014. It's their biannual letter, September 2014. It says, working out beneath the surface of the information and communications revolution is an arcane process with tremendous implications for humanity's future. In the digital circuits on which the internet, computers, and cellular phones all rely, electricity is made to run through the circuitry pattern on a silicon chip, performing an ordered, repetitive dance, the rudiments of ceremony and ritual. They're talking about the internet, how it is an arcane process, a ceremonial and ritual process when traveling through circuits and the internet. And here's another clip of this practice in which, who is the president of the Lucifer Trust, okay? In an interview with a Jewish guy who asks about the use of Christ in the Great Invocation. Now, the Great Invocation is like their prayer or spell. Now, I didn't know this, but they claim that the Great Invocation was handed down to them at the Lucis Trust, handed down to Alice Bailey by an ascended master from the cosmos or something in April 1945. Just weeks before the United Nations Charter was signed. It says here on the Lucis Trust website, on the article, United Nations Manifesting, there's another word for you, manifesting, a word you hear a lot in witchcraft and New Age. It says here, United Nations Manifesting the Vision of One Humanity. It shows in the article how the Lucifer Trust and the United Nations are so linked. It says the conference, which finally created the UN Charter, took place in San Francisco over the period beginning just before WASAC 1945, with the UN Charter being adopted on the day of the full moon of Cancer, 25th of June 1945. It is interesting to contemplate that this conference happened in a city named after a prior incarnation of Master Katumi, Master Katumi being one of their ascended masters. So yeah, okay, check out this clip. She is interviewed by this guy who asks, why do you use Christ, the word Christ, in your great invocation?
I'd love to sort of start there because, you know, in, and I don't know off the top of my head, but it within the invocation that you mentioned, God is mentioned three times, so mind, heart, and will. And then, as you were saying, Christ is mentioned. And then there's sort of a footnote that you can substitute the imam, you can substitute the bodhisattva from Buddhism and so forth.
Yeah.
A lot of our religions have somebody to come back. Talk about the invocation, if you will. It's sort of, all right, here I am, Jewish guy, people and so forth. I find the sort of meditations very soothing. Talk about, you know, how I, from my religion or others, use the invocation, how it's used amongst your sort of population there, the group. And
I can understand from your point of view, you know, being Jewish, you know, to suddenly see the Christ there. But of course, you know, he's not the Christ for Christians.
Sure.
We often call him a world teacher. And if he does reappear, he will come as a world teacher and is very unlikely to be, in terms of religion as such. But of course, you know, he's not the Christ for Christians.
Sure.
So it's a very powerful energy, that will energy, and it's that will that the Christ is going to bring when he reappears. And it will burn away. It's a sort of fiery will to good. It's not a sort of gentle, soft spirituality in that sense. It's going to burn away those barriers that exist between people. And we do have an adapted invocation where we don't mention Christ. It's the same, except we call, instead of saying the race of men, we say the human. We use the word human.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ we've called the coming one.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, she says it's not the Christian's Christ. It's not that one, oh no. Well, what Christ is it then? What other Christs are there? Well, there's Jesus Christ, yeah, yeah. Who else? The only one I can think of is the Antichrist. So is that what it is? Lucifer, Antichrist, Lucis Trust, Lucifer Publishing. And then she says, oh, and well, you know, sometimes, you know, we swap the word Christ out and we swap it with the coming one. Okay, yeah. All right, yeah, I've heard enough. But, you know, it's all love and light, yeah? There's nothing sinister going on here at all. So let's just recap. We have the Lucis Trust. Who are Luciferians? Who are into witchcraft and worship Lucifer, the fallen angel? It's all inverted. They think Lucifer is the good guy and Jesus is the bad guy, okay? When they talk about good and evil, they're talking about it in the reverse way that you would be thinking what is good and what is evil. They work hand in hand with the United Nations and the World Health Organization. The World Health Organization are the United Nations, yeah? And they have jabbed billions of people numerous times over the last year with experimental injections, pharmacy or pharmakia, which means sorcery. Sorcery is the use of magic. Magic is performed by witches. It's witchcraft. Is this getting through to you yet? I hope so. I hope so. Look, if you read the Bible, if you believe in God and Jesus, then it's a well-known thing in those circles that in the Bible, all demons bow down to Jesus. All witchcraft will be returned to sender. It says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Okay? That's the story in the Bible. Many instances where demons run from Jesus. Numerous stories of demons submitting to Jesus. For example, we have Mark 3:11, and the unclean spirits, demons, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, you are the Son of God. Okay, so if you're someone who truly has faith in the Bible and believes, then you shouldn't be afraid of witchcraft. These people should hold no fear for you. And I'm asking, is that belief and conviction strong enough to see people through? And also, if you're thinking that way, you shouldn't be taken in by the Decepticons and the deceivers, those around us, all around us in the media, because they are also, in a certain way, casting a spell on you. They are tricksters in the media and in the alternative media. We talk about trauma-based mind control on the masses, the public being hypnotized, being spellbound. Is that another form of witchcraft? Is that a spell being put on people? Is it because they have lost their way? Is this because people have been trained to think in a secular way and therefore don't have conviction, don't have faith? I mean, all that has happened over the last while, it's got me looking at the Bible. I had no interest before, but now it seems to be, I feel it's pivotal in what's happening, because obviously these control freaks, these Luciferians, they believe in it, that's for sure. And all that is happening is not just, it can't just be down to greed. It can't just be down to money. It can't just be about power either. It's got to be more than that. Everything that's happening must have been planned for decades, maybe hundreds of years. There has to be some form of very strong conviction behind what they are trying to do. And you have to ask, is this why our media is so saturated with rubbish? Look at Netflix, look at all the shows, look at all Amazon Prime and all of the horror and the devils and the serial killers and all of the crap. Is this why we see so little talk of Jesus and the Bible in the mainstream media? Because, you know what, maybe it's a source of strength at times like these. And they don't want you strong. They want you weak. They don't want you to have a backbone to stand up to them. They want you to have a backbone made of jelly so you can curl up and hide in the corner. Okay, look, I'm just thinking this is what's going on in my head, okay?
And as you said before, you suspected that he was not a believer, but now he's a believer.
Exactly. I think this whole agenda drove him to the Word of God. You know what I'm
right.
saying? Because he
right.
has a pretty good grip on the Word.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
For a new believer. So,
sure. I want to play that again because it's very compelling. If you don't mind me playing that again.
No, that's okay.
Because for years you've been saying, I don't think this guy's a Christian. I think he's smart. I think he's sympathetic, but I don't believe he's a believer. But now I hear a different tune, and
mm-hmm.
he just confessed it, right? So
yes,
let's play that. I think this is important.
Times. Over the last year, with experimental injections, pharmacy, or pharmakia, which means sorcery is the use of magic, magic is performed by witches, it's witchcraft, is this getting through to you yet? I hope so. Look, if you read the Bible, if you believe in God and Jesus, then it's a well-known thing in those circles that in the Bible, all demons bow down to Jesus. All witchcraft will be returned to sender. It says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Okay? That's the story in the Bible. Many instances where demons run from Jesus. Numerous stories of demons submitting to Jesus. For example, we have Mark 3:11, and the unclean spirits, demons, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, you are the Son of God. Okay, so if you're someone who truly has faith in the Bible and believes, then you shouldn't be afraid of witchcraft. These people should hold no fear for you. And I'm asking, is that belief and conviction strong enough to see people through? And also, if you're thinking that way, you shouldn't be taken in by the Decepticons and the deceivers, those around us, all around us in the media, because they are also, in a certain way, casting a spell on you. They are tricksters in the media and in the alternative media. We talk about trauma-based mind control on the masses, the public being hypnotized, being spellbound. Is that another form of witchcraft? Is that a spell being put on people? Is it because they have lost their way? Is this because people have been trained to think in a secular way and therefore don't have conviction, don't have faith? I mean, all that has happened over the last while, it's got me looking at the Bible. I had no interest before, but now it seems to be, I feel it's pivotal in what's happening because obviously these control freaks, these Luciferians, they believe in it, that's for sure. And all that is happening, it can't just be down to greed. It can't just be down to money. It can't just be about power either. It's got to be more than that. Everything that's happening must have been planned for decades, maybe hundreds of years. There has to be some form of very strong conviction behind what they are trying to do. And you have to ask, is this why our media is so saturated with rubbish? Look at Netflix. Look at all the shows. Look at all Amazon Prime and all of the horror and the devils and the serial killers and all of the crap. Is this why we see so little talk of Jesus and the Bible in the mainstream media? Because, you know what? Maybe it's a source of strength at times like these. And they don't want you strong. They want you weak. They don't want you to have a backbone to stand up to them. They want you to have a backbone made of jelly so you can curl up and hide in the corner. Okay, look, I'm just thinking, this is what's going on in my head, okay? Look, let us know what you think in the comments. Feel free to download this video and share wherever you want. This is going to be exclusive on the Hugo Talks website. That's what I'm planning. I'm not going to upload it anywhere else. So come and subscribe to HugoTalks.com so I can notify you when I upload videos, and so I don't have to rely on third-party platforms to get the word out.
That's pretty interesting how he's
trying
to stay off of
other
platforms.
I was interested. I said I'm not sure of his theological beliefs, you know, but
right.
When I did hear that, I thought, well, he's got a good grasp on Christianity, you know. However,
sure.
I was concerned about saying anything because you never know, you know,
mm-hmm.
the line.
Right.
But I like the way it was presented, and I like, you know, I think that a lot of deep thinkers, people, there are still people out there who are thinking so deeply, none of this makes sense, and hopefully they're driven to the Word of God where it will make sense, you know, where
right.
everything will make sense to them. Like him. So it's interesting. But here's the funny part. Did you see the Wikipedia thing under the video? Because when
yeah.
they do a video and there's something there, the video says, in it, it was saying the NWO, the New World Order, is a conspiracy theory about
mm-hmm.
an emerging totalitarian government. Well, it
mm-hmm.
kind of looks real to me. Don't it to you?
Sure.
They have a
sure.
disclaimer on videos, you know. They want to, even when you're trying to present something, they're trying to take that down.
Right.
So, you know. So
yeah, they're hard at work.
Oh, everywhere. That's why you have to be so careful. I mean, really, and what you buy into. A lot of people didn't realize, too, that the World Health Organization is a part of the UN. I was
right.
surprised by that, but there's a lot of people I had no idea. And remember when we did Benjamin Krem, the show on Benjamin Krem from England?
I don't remember.
Okay, he's a part of this also. We did
okay.
a show on him. So, you know, what they're looking for in this is they're looking for the resurrection, believe it or not, of their Antichrist. You know,
mm.
remember the Lord said if they say, you know, Christ is here or Christ is there, don't go. Well,
right,
that's what they're
right.
looking for in this is, and they use the term resurrection in it. And you also notice there was a black cube. In the room
that
with the UN.
Yeah.
Now, what does
yep.
Mecca have? What does
the
Mecca
same
have?
Same thing.
Yep.
Same thing.
Yep. So, you know, that's just shows, you know, when they go to Mecca, what they're worshiping here.
Sure.
You know. So that lady, I couldn't, you know, I need to do more research on her. She just come in out of nowhere. She's running, you know, this trust, Alice's trust here. So
mm-hmm.
So the symbol that they're told to meditate on that the listeners didn't see, it looks like the top of the pyramid where the Eye of Horus is.
Right.
So they're meditating on the top of the pyramid of the Eye of Horus. And the reason it's disconnected is that is they want to connect that eye to the bottom. When you see pictures
mm-hmm.
of it, it's always above the pyramid.
Right.
Well, the connection is when it comes together. that's the uniting of everything, the pyramid with the eye. So I don't know. I haven't looked. Yeah, isn't that interesting? So remember the Buddhic planes they were talking about? She's now saying the seventh ray. Well, they had seven Buddhic planes. They weren't, you know, this is all, it has to connect. There's your, all the religions have to connect. And who's the head of it? The eye of Horus over the top. That's why you have the pyramid in the eye, by the way. So their worst enemy is the logical thinkers. Because they said they have overdeveloped minds. That's what they're saying. And the reason that's why we have the dumbing down process going on is because they can't use witchcraft on logical thinkers, right? This is the whole thing they're trying to do. So if you're thinking logically, that's why you say you look at your neighbor and they're falling for these crazy things, even your doctors, you know?
Right.
They're saying things that aren't rational because they're really not logical thinkers or they aren't Christians. You know, I think the Lord is really, you know, going to really step in with the Christians here to make sure that they don't, you know, fall for any of these things. I think you could if you get into it, but I think that the Lord, you know, you have the Holy Spirit. And that should discern for you some of these, you know, these things that they have planned. But witchcraft in itself, that's going to be a big thing. It's in our pulpits everywhere. You look at Paula. Think of Paula. And calling on the ancestors. You know, what she performs is witchcraft. And that's the thing people don't understand. It's not that she's dumb. Totally.
Right.
It's just she has a different gospel. Not a different gospel. She's into paganism. That's paganism. That's what she's promoting. So, you know, this is why I think we're told to have the mind of Christ, you know, and these things. This is all about brainwashing, witchcraft, spells, you know. You know, they're Christ and they're harmony, having harmony and stuff. So, you know, so they what they end up doing is they form a group of mentally dumbed down people, and they use that group to sway others or attack others. That's how they get this. And you feel that yourself. I mean, you can feel that if you're trying to stand firm for the truth. You know you're going to be attacked. You know, by people who have drank the Kool-Aid. And they use that against each other. So anything you have to say before I move on here?
Well, we can see that, like he said, with the jab, the UN is pushing the jab. And that's a global effort. And think about all the people around the world who couldn't afford the jab. But the UN was giving it away for free. And who knows what's in those jabs? We don't know what's in those jabs.
Now they got a booster.
So, yeah. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's getting scary, right? Again, the UN and the World Health Organization, the WHO, and Fauci, and, you know, and his connection to it, and China, and COVID, and, you know.
It's all crazy.
It's just, sure. Absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
We had a video before of a former witch. And she talked about how churches are being directly influenced by witchcraft through repetitive sounds, movements. I thought that was interesting, and I couldn't find it. She was a former witch, and she was exposing about how they click. And she said, you know, how they can – it was a form of brainwashing that they were using, you know, and calling it witchcraft. And it was incredible. you know, even how many times you snap your fingers, how many times you stomp your feet, how many times you play each song. I wish I could find that, because that blew me away. We did that quite a while ago.
Right.
So we know that their God is mind. They have three parts to their God. It's mind, heart, and will. He said that. Hugo said that. The lady said that.
Right,
so you have
right.
mind, heart, and will. That's their God. Not the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Theirs is mind, heart, and will. And I think in a lot of our pulpits today, that's what you see in the teachings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's self. It's about self.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of these things go way back. I know they go way back, but if you talk about and look at the Zohar, you know, their practices, they're similar to some of the things we see. The Talmudic, you know, practices and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It's amazing
yep.
of how these things all connect. And I was thinking about quickly here in Jeremiah 51:44, the Lord said, this is ESV, the Lord said, and I will punish Bel in Babylon and take out of his mouth what he has swallowed. The nation shall no longer flow to him. The wall of Babylon will fall. And then verse 45, go out of the midst of her, my people. Let everyone save his life from the fierce anger of the Lord. And if we go to Revelation 18:4, it says, then I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest ye take
right.
part in her sins, lest ye share in her plagues. So God
mm-hmm.
destroyed the first Babylon, and he's certainly going to end forever the last one.
Right.
But the idea is that the nations here are just flowing in. Just as in Jeremiah, they're flowing in, you know,
sure.
into this. They're coming together as a group. And that's something years ago we didn't see. We saw separation between the nations. And we don't see that now. They're all in one, they're lining up in one accord, you know, and we're told to stay out of this. So,
and that's
anyway.
Why the world hate, and that's why the world hated Trump, because Trump said, no, we got to keep everything separate. And these
mm-hmm.
people want the world united.
Yes.
They don't want
yep.
anything separate. So Trump,
right.
as we so many times have said, and not that we're Trump fans, but we're just reporting the news, right? I mean, you know,
right.
we're, you know, I'm not a Jensen Franklin where I'm in the Oval Office slobbering all
right.
over Trump wanting to pray for him, but at
yeah.
least I have to acknowledge that Trump did try to keep things separate and wasn't
yep.
buying anything that the UN was saying, wasn't buying anything that the World Health Organization was saying, and for 4 years
right.
we had, you know, a pause on that agenda. And then
yep.
they went around Trump when they produced COVID. COVID was
right.
their way of saying, Trump, we're going to stop you.
Mm-hmm.
This is our way of pushing the agenda forward. And then Trump had no choice but to just shut the nation down and then, you know, work with everybody because,
mm-hmm.
and if he wins again, there's going to be another COVID or something similar to it. That's
right.
going to stop
right.
him from, you know, because this end time agenda of Antichrist is going to come to pass.
Yep. And they're going to bend. The leaders are going to bend. I have a good audio for next week, and it concerns Trump and the
right.
bending, you know.
Sure.
So, you know, it sure helped me say, okay, you know, the Bible says trust no man. And I have believed that for a long time, but you know that you know how we kind of say, well, geez, we did look at things. Things were better. Things were great, you know.
Sure.
prosperity
and
all
I'm
that.
Not
and we honestly got to admit it. We got to admit
and
it. It was all
Trump.
Like that.
I'm not saying,
I know you don't.
You know, Trump is my savior and Trump. No.
Yeah, right.
That's asinine. All I said was he was the instrument that God used to put a little pause on this, and the fight continues. The fight continues, right? So
it certainly does.
And of course,
it certainly does.
Stupid. Listen, no matter how much Trump tried to put America first, there are so many people embedded in the FBI and people embedded in the Attorney General's office, and so many people in the CIA.
Yeah.
They're gonna make sure that what the devil wants gets done.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. And
even
you're gonna
now,
love
look,
my audio
I mean,
next week.
Right. I mean,
you
think, sold it out. Yeah,
think about now.
Think about how they're trying to stump Trump now. They're trying to stop him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, now, you know, he was a buffoon. He's Mr. Orange. He's this and that. So why are you so afraid of him? If he was a buffoon and Mr. Orange and he's laughable and he's no good and he's stupid and he blah, blah, blah. Why? What? Because you sold out to the devil. That's why.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. That's right.
So.
Okay, we have one more audio, and it's 10 minutes long. And this is the reason I'm playing this is because of the, you know, I found this interesting because they have some women who have left their churches to embrace witchcraft and become witches.
Okay.
Now, you know, this is not a black or white issue. I can tell you there's white women in the pulpit who are using witchcraft. But the title of this is Why Some Black Women Are Turning to Witchcraft. And this deals with the ancestral paganism. That's why. So, you know, this is it. And I found it fascinating. And it's 10 minutes long. So if you want to play that, we can.
Here it is.
I honestly believe Jesus was one of the most toxic relationships I've ever had in the entirety of my life.
You shouldn't keep your magic in the dark. Like, this is your soul. You need to share it to the world. Let it rain on me now. So be it. So it is.
So the video is entitled Leaving Jesus, Why Some Black Women Are Turning to Witchcraft. Jesus, for the last year of my life, Jesus was so toxic. He was so toxic.
Yeah. Well, you know what they're doing here? This is the thing. The biggest thing about this audio I like is it shows how they're normalizing witchcraft. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about
right.
it. They're making it normal. And they have to do that to get people to accept it, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
I was a super Christian. I was raised in the church.
No, you were never a super Christian. Sorry.
That's right. That's right.
Never. Impossible.
That's right.
Impossible. But
super
again,
Christian,
that's
you wouldn't be where you are.
Right.
Yep.
Yep.
I was a worship leader. I'm like singing all over the place and touring over here and crying out to God. How many times have I prayed to Jesus to show up for things that were actually needed and he didn't show up?
Melissa Whetstone grew up as a preacher's kid, but 12 years ago, she left the church. She says the community felt toxic and she didn't feel a personal connection to Jesus.
Hi, how are you? I need the frankincense and myrrh is here.
She eventually discovered Lukumi, a religion that was brought to Cuba by enslaved West Africans.
It's just a beautiful thing to be a part of. It's a beautiful community spirit. You're learning and growing with other people, so I really love it.
Black folks have left the church in higher numbers over the last decade than ever before. And younger generations are even less likely to affiliate with the church. but many young people are still seeking spirituality. And some are reviving traditions from Africa and the Caribbean through practices that connect them with their ancestors.
This is my bovada, or my altar. A few glasses of water. That's just for my specific ancestors who watch and look over me. I have liquor that my uncle likes, you know, got to make sure you still get lit on the other side. I feed them. I talk to them. I spend time with them. Like, this is my place to be.
So can you talk about some of the differences in what you study now to what your relationship was with Christianity then? What are you getting out of Lukumi that
I
you didn't find in
to my prayer.
Church?
That I tell people that all the time. Like, when they're like, what's the difference? I'm like, because my prayers are answered. Like, that's one. When I come to my altar and I pray to my ancestors and I actually take my time to cry out, not only do I get responses, I get physical manifestations and answers.
You were born into a household where your dad was a pastor?
Yes.
How is that relationship with him now, and how did your family react?
I'm the black sheep of my family. I love my family to death. They love me, but we don't see eye to eye. They're like, girl, you're going to hell. You're going to burn. So I'm like, if I was going to burn, I'm pretty sure we will be burning together. Ironically, it is often because of...
Yeah, it's interesting because the lady has a she has a flag from the Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. I believe that's the flag of the Dominican Republic, and that's one of the Caribbean islands. That's the one that's connected to Haiti. They share the same landmass
yeah.
with Haiti.
So mm-hmm.
I don't know why she would have that there, but
yeah,
I see that in the background.
Wow, you spotted something.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Oh.
Good spotting.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the flag. I'm almost sure.
Well, you think, though, they're normalizing it, and you think about Bethel now. You know, if the word of faith were, like, crept in and really twisted the gospel, I mean, Bethel opened the floodgates to Satan with spirituality, you know,
mm-hmm.
with this, you know, crazy stuff. What they do at Bethel is the same thing they're doing here, but they've labeled it something else. Christian,
right,
you know,
right.
They put a Christian name on it. So
sure.
They're normalizing all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing. They would fit right in at Bethel.
All
and
right.
I became aware of this. You know that. I became aware of this because someone called me and said, I have a problem. And I said, what? And they said, you know, my dad died, and I said, yeah, I know. And they said, his bishop came over to my house, and he was performing some spiritual thing that I want to know, what is this, you know? And
mm-hmm.
I said, that's witchcraft. He said, mm-hmm. I knew there was something evil about it. I knew
yeah.
it, that bishop. But he said, I never knew that bishop to be like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And my dad's church, I never saw this kind of behavior, but you
right.
know, he was burning stuff, and I explained what it was because he hadn't seen it. I said, that's terrible. He
yeah.
said, yeah, I thought so when he wanted to meet with us and do this, you know, so
mm-hmm.
yeah, same thing. So that's how I became aware of the bishops doing this, you know?
Right.
So,
right. All
okay.
right. Here's more.
But we don't see eye to eye. They're like, girl, you're going to hell. You're going to burn. So I'm like, if I was going to burn, I'm pretty sure we will be burning together.
Ironically, it is often because of that kind of religious conservatism that people move out.
Dr. Yvonne Chereau studies African and indigenous religions.
A lot of these religions came to the United States after the Middle Passage, after the period of slavery, like other immigrants. They bring their cultures and their religions. But because when they come to the United States, they're often met with hostility, they tended to be secretive.
Can you talk about the role that social media has played? Because especially if we're talking about the younger generation, they might not be as dedicated to being ordained and, you know, kind of doing all these rituals, but I go up and down my timeline, now everybody's a witch. Everybody's burning sage.
Prior to the turn of the 20th century, they utilized the internet or whatever media was available in order to be spiritual entrepreneurs. They would sell goods and services. They would treat clients and so forth. With the coming of the digital age, and in particular social media, I really feel like younger people are grabbing on to some of the digital trends where they can sort of brand themselves as practitioners. It's a kind of identity to be a part of this. So the internet and social media has certainly helped to popularize it, but I really do feel strongly that this is something of a movement in that young black people, they are reaching back, they are recovering that which is ancestral, but they're doing it in their own way.
So do you want to light the candles? Should we do that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to actually carve my sigils in the candles.
Majori is a 29-year-old fashion designer living in New York who practices witchcraft. She casts spells with a coven of other young witches.
We're making money jars. So we're adding different herbs that manifest prosperity, money, success. I feel like, you know, Hollywood and like in the movies, they kind of like gave this idea that, you know, magic was scary. And it's like, is this scary? it's not.
Would you consider this your religion as opposed to being Catholic?
Yes, definitely. Divination is my main form of like spiritual practice, but being Catholic too, it still like resonates and there's like some roots in there. I feel like Catholicism is extremely witchy. I mean, drinking the blood of Christ, I mean, you know, the whole sacrament, that's a ritual. Like, it is witchcraft. They just don't want to call it that. I just feel like we kind of need to get rid of that taboo mentality of, like, this is something that is, like, evil or, you know, harmful, because it's not at all. It's the complete opposite of that.
Do you feel like in the last 5 to 10 years or so that that is happening?
Because of social media, there's a huge surge of giving a light to the divination community and like witchcraft and everything, and people are now being more vocal about their practice and being more comfortable expressing themselves and showing their craft, and I think that's very beautiful.
This is Ultra Magica or crystals coming out of the broom closet. So I have Majori, the punk priestess, here in the flesh.
For many young spiritualists, the online community has replaced the one they might have had at church, but without the strict mandates that come with other religions.
I'm not the type of witch that likes to subscribe to rules. I just do whatever it is I please. If it doesn't fit the spell, I will improvise. It is what it is.
I feel like the rules, it's like oppressive. We need to have, you know, the system. You have to be a certified, like, tarot reader. And so I want to, like, dismantle and get rid of that, because that's not what healership really is. You don't.
That's why we are here.
That's why we're here. You don't have to subscribe to these rules, because, like, who's telling you these things? Again, like, have your own independent thought. That is what divination is.
I'm just holding
it. Very Taurus of you. Yeah, divination is having a demon inside of you, and that's it, and you're going to make money. I mean, that's Act 16,
that's correct.
Right?
Yep.
So. Yeah, it's yes. It's a hustle. It's
yep.
Basically, you know, it's another way for people to make money online.
Yep. You're
right.
Right.
She's gonna do spells. She's gonna do this. She's the punk priestess, and yeah, it's sad. It's sad.
It is sad. That's what's going on, though. I mean, this is happening within our churches, and it's called a church, you know. I mean, it's happening in a building, and then they just put a sign up and say church on it. And they're in, with you in church. You can have a group of people maybe that are believers, and these people are in that group, you know. They
yeah.
show up in these groups.
Sure.
They infiltrate. And then they use, and a lot of times what they do is do small house, you know, gatherings, you know, and they start to indoctrinate into this
right.
and make it seem normal. And we know it doesn't end well. These things
yeah.
do not
yeah.
end well. So
yeah.
I found that interesting how normal they make this sound.
Sure. All right, here's more.
Pride, like, tarot reader. And if I want to, like, dismantle and get rid of that, because that's not what healership really is. You don't.
That's why we're here.
That's why we're here. You don't have to subscribe to these rules because, like, who's telling you these things? Again, like, have your own independent thought. That is what divination is.
I'm just holding you. Very Taurus of you.
So today we're in Southfield, Michigan for the Detroit Voodoo Festival, and dozens of spiritualists from around the country have come together. They all practice something different under the African traditional religious practices, but this is significant because 20, 30 years ago, these things were done in secret. So now they're gathering here at this hotel behind me for classes, workshops, there's vendors, and they're all just here to celebrate this new birth of spirituality.
I want to thank everybody for coming to the first annual Detroit Voodoo Festival. And first up, we have a wonderful, powerful priestess, someone who really has a working grasp of the spirit, a working grasp of the traditions, a working grasp of how to facilitate and create change in your life. So please, if you would, welcome my sister, a powerful priestess, Mizzy Fayebeu.
Hi, y'all beautiful people. How are y'all? First of all, thank you.
Ifa Abeo is Melissa's spiritual mentor in the Lukumi faith.
The Bible is the biggest spell book known to man. We just don't know how to use it.
Ifa was initiated into Lukumi 4 years ago, but has been practicing divination through tarot card readings since the 90s. So what was that experience like 20, 30 years ago, reading tarot cards?
I knew all this stuff. They call you root people, root workers, conjure people, and things like that. So it was taboo. It wasn't as it is now. That was a no-no. You would come after church. When the lights are out, you would come at night and, you know, get your reading or whatever work you need done. But it wasn't out like now. You can go in New York and Central Park and you got a table full of everybody reading.
20, 30 years ago when you were doing tarot and things in secret, could you imagine that in 2021 you'd be at a Detroit Voodoo Festival?
No.
Teaching a class?
Now, I will say this. The person that started to do this, to take it out on the road, a lot of spiritual people were against it. They were like, no, it's going to bring a lot of negative. It's going to make spiritual people look horrible. But we still did it because people now have a hunger.
How do you see these traditions and these religions evolving in the next 5 to 10 years?
I see that more and more people who study this are seeing the health benefits, the mental health benefits, the healing benefits of religion and spirituality. It may not be conventional. It may not be what your parents did. But it's really, this is something that I think is going to grow, and it might be more broadly accepted because it works.
Let us be sun-drenched and beaming, anointed, let it rain. Let it rain on me now. So be it. So it is.
And so it is.
Wow, they're snapping the fingers there at the end.
Yeah, they surely are.
Yeah, hold on to that. I gotta, hold on.
Anointed, let it rain. Let it rain on me now. So be it. So it is.
And so it is.
So it is.
Yeah.
Think Paula.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Well,
wow.
Do you see how this can creep in? I mean, and seem normal. You know, it's like, well, the church is okay with that. And we saw this with Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the tarot cards and all that. They just called them something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Right.
You know, they just repackaged us all and called it something else. But, it, you know, so anyway, that's just the start of what we're going to do with this. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
And that voodoo conference was empty. I mean, the only people at the voodoo conference were the voodoos.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, it wasn't packed. It wasn't, you know, I didn't see a lot of people there. I just saw practitioners there sitting in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I can tell you that you know, looking at social media, I've been really analyzing a lot about social media and looking at it, and I can tell you that if I were to put a number in there, I'd say the highest number of people who are into mysticism and things like that are the Roman Catholics. They're professing Catholics. They still think they're Catholic, even though they're, you know, doing something else. It's like we just don't call it divination.
Right.
You know, they'll say, or, you know, but so far in my research, that's what I've saw, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
100%. I mean, you know, I'd say the biggest majority, but I have a hard time finding anyone outside of the Catholic faith, and I'm sure there are some, but I'm just saying the majority are professing Catholics.
Yeah, yeah.
Who think this
yeah,
is
because,
okay.
Yeah, Catholicism permits all of that stuff, so.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, great show as always. And are we going to continue this next week?
Yes, we're going to go on with, we're going to keep on, you know, these societies and different things, symbolism, things like that. We're going to work on that for the next few
weeks. Amen, amen. Amen. Well, great show, and looking forward to the series, and you have the last word.
Well, thank you for your help, and I'm glad you're feeling better. So I just think when you compromise here and there, you fall into sin. And then you're in danger of falling away from the faith. So I would say be careful, especially who you're around and what you listen to. Have a great day. We'll see you next week. Bye.
And when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, Lord. You know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. And such knowledge, Lord, is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence, Lord? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on wings of the dawn, if I sail on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. And your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become like night all around me. Oh Lord, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. Oh, and I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side, guide me. And my faith was not hidden from you, Lord.
How fast is the summer fair? Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand, the grains of the sand. And when I awake, Lord, when I awake, Lord, I am still with you. I am still with you. I am still with you. I am still with you.